Well, as you have seen, we are doing Proverbs, and today I have two verses to share with us, and are so direct and so simple, but they are very important to us to hear. So this verse, and I'd like to read it again, is chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Oh yeah, I think we are having some different lights here. Good. Yeah, so Proverbs chapter 3, we had in the past, last week, we had Proverbs 3, verse 9, verses 5, and today I'm going to focus on verse 9. Verse 9, it says this: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. I reckon this is talking about tithe, isn't it? And tithe is what most pastors will find difficult to talk about. Because you are telling people, actually, bring money to the church. Bring money to the church. It's just like if you live in South Sudan, they take taxes, but actually the taxes are not translated into anything. You see, they give anyway. They didn't like that. They don't like that. But it's unlike here, when the word of God says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Actually, the original translations for honor is so different. Is kavod, which is glory. Glory. And here the writer is urging God's people to give glory to God. To give glory to God. And this word also, the constructions, the verb here is very strong. So in the Hebrew, you use different verbs. And when you want to really put emphasis, a strong emphasis, you use a certain construction or certain verbs, and it's called PR. Just for example, if I have to drop a glass of water and it breaks. So you have two options. It can break into bigger pieces or to shatter completely. And this verb brings the latter. Shatters. So it's very strong. To give God glory is something so important and powerful. Give God the glory. Glorify God. You see, when I was a lot younger and we used to sing songs of revival, we used to sing this beautiful song. I will magnify the Lord, I will magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. And then the other will take, for he is worthy to be praised. And we can go on with that, and then the Holy Spirit will come, and our heart will be full of joy, because we are ascribing glory to God. And now he's saying, when you bring the offerings, the first fruits of all your crops, you are bringing glory to God. You are setting God above others. You are setting God above all other gods. It's your God. And you need to remember, it is within the context of the covenant. It is in the context of the covenant, the God who has relationship with you. It is quite amazing when he says, honor the Lord with your wealth. You may think I'm saying honor the Lord, all of you, isn't it? But it is in the singular. It's imperative, masculine, singular. It can be also imperative, feminine, singular. You, one person in mind, who has a relationship with God. And as you do this, it's a declaration from your side that I belong, and I belong to God. And we see the context back then in Deuteronomy 26. And it was a promise to God's people. And Deuteronomy brings it out so clearly to us why the proverb would pick it up and again press it upon the hearts of God's people. Hear this. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you, it's Moses is speaking to the Israelites, as an inheritance, the land that God was giving to the people of Israel, and have taken possessions of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in basket. You see, the land is a gift from God. So all that you are giving is acknowledgement that I didn't get here by myself. You see, I didn't get here by myself to be in the covenant of God with God and for God to drive out other nations from this land that flows milk with honey. And it's God himself who is giving this produce. And now he is told to do this. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at that time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us today. So you are bringing to your memory the dealing of God with you. That is what was happening. As you do this, you are remembering, and he will go on elaborating, sharing why these people should glorify God, why they should glorify him, and why we should glorify him too, and in what ways. So you bring it to the place, he said, satisfied. It's the church, the place God has declared to be his house. You remember Jesus used to go to a lot of gathering of God's people, isn't it? He used to go to synagogues every Sabbath and join with God's people, where a lot of people would be bringing tithes and offerings like this. And Jesus was affirming that as an act of worship, of glorifying God. He didn't oppose it. The place, because the tent of meetings, even in the wilderness, the tabernacles, we say the tabernacles, isn't it? The tent of meeting, the place where people meet, and then God will come with all his glory and will fill the place with all of his glory, and the power of God will just brood and come upon these people. The people who are walking closely with their God. And we are no difference. You need to remember all the way, even generation after generation, the Israelite will say, God did not only make covenant with our forefathers. He made it with us. It is with us. Even today, we can say the same thing. For the Old Testament history is our history. As we sit here today, as if we were in the wilderness, who would not want to imagine himself among the people of God? If you think of the Exodus, people walking through the Red Sea. How about us? What was the Red Sea, the greatest Red Sea we have ever crossed ourselves? The Bible says we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead in our sins, and we were made alive. And then we call it Exodus. Coming out from death to life, isn't it? It's a great Exodus. And therefore you shall say, the Lord has brought me here, and I have to give him all the glory. And now he was told, they were told to do this. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean. He was not a people of God. And he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery toil and oppressions. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. See? And that is why they are to glorify God with all this, with the first fruits, the best they could think of, prioritizing God first. And now I bring the offerings, he would say that, the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. What I bring here is from your hands. And I cut all these distances to declare that I belong and I glorify your great name. I appreciate this. It is out of your hands. And with that, there will be blessing, isn't it? For that is what verse 10 will do. Honor the Lord. And actually, even the English translation would just want to make it so personal to you. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. But it doesn't say that like that. From your wealth. And it is amazing also, you observe the language. It's your wealth now. You see? It's yours. God gave you. God is a giver, a giving God. He loves you. He gave you. He gives. And he's saying, it's yours. And the decision is yours. That is why it makes sense. Because those who will do this, they are the people who are declaring that I belong. It's a recognition that is God has given you something. For someone who has not received anything from God will not do that, isn't it? A person who is not a child of God or a Christian will not do that. Will not travel all the way. In fact, many people object to the tithe that people are bringing to the house of God, and they just don't like that. Why we would want to do that? They didn't know it's a command from our God. So it's your wealth, and now as a child of God, as living out the wisdom God gave you, as you have learned the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So you do this. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. It's not just part. It's everything that you have. And it was so important for the people of Israel. And it should be important to us too. Because in those days, they were living out of God's mercy. They were living out of God's mercy in a land where there were a lot of enemies. There were a lot of enemies around. And we have seen also how if they fail to honor their God, God will just give them up to their enemies. As they kept closer to God, God kept closer to them. And so there is a relationship between honoring God and obeying Him and blessings or adversaries. Well, if we want to take this today to the New Testament, because as I mentioned earlier, we have been saved by grace and grace alone. And there is a great continuity in this verse, because some people would think that this is an Old Testament idea or phenomenon. No. Actually, here, we are also called as Christians to do the very thing. Because Jesus says in chapter 15 of John, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laying his life for us. That is what he gave us. He gave us his life. And he wants us to give him our lives first, as we have heard earlier in verse 5 of Proverbs, that we trust the Lord with all our hearts, we give him our hearts first. And here also, we give our hearts to Christ. And therefore, we give everything that really the Holy Spirit will lay our heart on our hearts and the very best that we have, because we have been brought into this wonderful relationship to the God of Israel by Jesus Christ through his precious blood. All that we possess today, even as Christians, as believers, are from the hand of God. Because he is the one who opens doors for us, for everything, isn't it? You need a job, you pray. You need you are cloudy in your mind, you pray. So you are in a wonderful relationship with God. The blessings of God are flowing to your life because of this great salvation Christ has offered you and I. As he brought out his people and he was keeping them through all these stipulations, keeping his word. And then he says, when we honor the Lord, when we glorify him, when we set him apart in our hearts, when we set him above other affections, other principalities, other orders, then he will increase, he will bless us more, isn't it? But it's not, we don't give him because he will give us. Because some people would just use this, I give God this and then he will give me back. How about if he doesn't give you back? And then some people just like, they just stop. No, it's not like that. We don't give him so that he give us. But this is his nature. This is his nature. This is his response. This is his reaction. He blesses always when our hearts are shining with faith, isn't it? It's not other way around. He will not bless you anyway. He may not choose to do certain things with you, but he will never bless disobedience. Because here there's blessing, there are protections, there is this deliverance, there is fullness of faith, there is clear presence of God in your life. His hand will be seen in your matters. You will die like a righteous. You will not die like a sinner. You walk with God. God will always come through, even in your suffering. The Bible says that, isn't it? When we suffer and doing good, Peter tells us that the Spirit of glory will come upon us, isn't it? Even as we suffer, because we are obeying, joyful in suffering, as a result of honoring God and glorifying him, giving him all the glory that he deserves. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. You see, Haggai speaks about the fact that if the people of God would not honor him, God actually will work against them. God will work against them. So we don't want to do that, isn't it? As also we see how the blessing are for those who will obey, just not for those who will not obey. You know, the broken purse? Has anyone of you read? The purse that is so opened, broken? The Bible says you have worked very hard, you brought in a lot of income, but they just fall through. Because you are not honoring God. So my text is just... That is what happened with the small books, Haggai. It's just hiding. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourself to be living in your panel houses? While this house remains a ruin, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. So God is faithful. We work hard in our days, isn't it? But why may the blessing is absent? Why we are in want? All the time. Because we are not honoring God at times. But here, the encouragement for us today is the imperative, honor. It's not saying something you might think about. You just do it. It's saying honor, do it, imperative, do it. Bring to God's house. From your wealth. You see, people in primitive cultures who have only one way of getting wealth, like whether they are farmers or fishermen, or so they set apart a portion, the first portion of their income. They bring it to the house of God. You see people bringing crops and sorghums into the house of God. That is what they have. Some people will bring oil. You see, some people bring whatever they have as a declaration that they belong. And we also in our days today, you see, in some practices, people are giving away houses. You see, they've got 10 houses. Maybe they give out one house. You see, so I give this to the Lord. You see, so we can give anything. You see? 10 earrings, you may give one away. It's just there are many ways to practice our faith, isn't it? From your possessions, the wealthier possessions as well. Modern translations. Your possession, whatever your hand found, whatever God has given you, acknowledge Him. And this has nothing to do whether we are going to do evangelism or we are not going to do that. And it does not depend on whether the board of management or are they going to be faithful with that. It is you, my son, is saying, the imperative, you. It's a relationship between you and your Lord, isn't it? This is your act of worship. And it has nothing to do with anyone else. And this is how you grow in your relationship with God. This is how you identify yourself one with Christ, our Lord. This is how you do it. There's no any other way. If you rationalize in modern terms, You will be lost. How many people today who are not coming to church, who are not really interested in what the church is doing? Maybe the church, sometimes they put too much emphasis on certain things. You see, but that is not your problem. God will deal with them. All that you need to do, what the Lord has done for you. Acknowledge that as a believer. That is what matters. And that will be reflected in your giving and how you honor God. And it is something by faith. It's not whether some people are more generous and others are not. It's just whether you obey or not. Do you live in a relationship with God? Are you a child of God? The other day I was just having this discussion with my children. We were talking about other religions. And now we are moving towards like accommodating all the religions. And we had really a very big debate. So can you say into the face of a person that your religion is demonic, is evil? It was difficult, isn't it? Well, you may not say it in their face, into their face, but you may say it violently in your heart. You may reject this. On the same token, you can also honor God to the point where you want to bring all that God has laid on your heart. It's just like you may want to say, oh, I wish the whole city is Christian, isn't it? I pray that the whole nation will be Christian. Why not? Is there any zeal? Is there any desire to see God glorified? Well, now hear the blessings there. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wines. You see, like people flowing, bubbling with joy, with faith. It's just exactly the same thing. You see, and even the blessings today might not be materialistic, isn't it? May not be material, isn't it? Even the life that is so healthy spiritually is a result of having given glory to God, acknowledging your sins and walking before Him, transparent before Him and with others. See? These are all connected. But the proverb is just encouraging us today that it's capturing Deuteronomy, the law of the law of the Lord God. And we as Christians, we can apply this today in our own days, isn't it? How do we tithe? What do we do? Maybe money is the issue now, isn't it? Is the possessions we have. See? Everything. And why not? Will not God move and do something? These people, they knew they were living depending on the rain, isn't it? They were far from the sources of water. Even with that, the technology was not just that great. They were just depending on rain. And they knew that if they don't honor God, you see, there will not be blessings. Even their prophets, if they can just, their prophets can just close the heavens, isn't it? They pray and then just God will just, maybe we don't have prophets to pray that God, please close the blessing. But God is doing it anyway. You see, God is doing it anyway. Can we see that the fact that God is doing it? Our churches, the level of our witness in our countries, the mission, our mission, whatever we do now today shows the fact that there are issues there. Maybe this verse contribute if we don't observe this verse. And then it will be reflected in our lives. We might have a lot of money, but if they are not brought to the place where the Lord has said, and then we are not honoring God with this. I say, when I was traveling from Jacksonville, Florida, to Nebraska, I traveled with a lady, an American lady, a doctor. She stopped going to church. We had really a good conversation that she lost faith in the church. And all that she has turned to is to help others. tell people outside the church. Because she was just put off by the things that the people in the church would do. That was a real testimony to her. And I encouraged her and I said, look, you might do that, but how about your relationship with God? Your relationship matters to God. It's not about the other people who are doing the wrong things. But what is, like this verse, what is saying to you? That's my emphasis today. You as a person, what are you doing in relation to this verse? Are you going to act on this as the imperatives? Even with, actually, God doesn't want so much. He said, from what you have. Always. The Bible will emphasize this, what you have. Jesus always will say, what do you have? The woman with two copper coins, what do you have? Honor God from what you have. You don't have to be wealthy to honor God. If you bring 5 cents with great faith, that's far better and glorious than millions of dollars that are not given in a good heart. I can guarantee that to you. And those who will change the environment around them, those who will change conditions of nations, are those people who will come with this attitude of honoring God who has brought them thus far, who has gave them eternal life, who set them free from entanglements of sin and demons, who gave them a song to sing and gave them a faith and heart to believe and trust God and to walk in love and humility and in purity. That is what the Word of God is calling us. Whenever we want to do something, He says He will fill us. God will fill us. He will bless you. I will do this and do this. All that you need to do is to acknowledge that you were dead in your sin. You were alien. You were so far and now have beautified you like Ezekiel 16. You were kicking in your blood and I came when your time was time of love and I picked you up and I cleansed you and I made you pure for glory, made you honor, ready for glory. That is what God has done. He picked us up. He changes us. And He is changing us until He made us ready for that day when we shall meet our Lord Jesus Christ in glory as people who have honored this. But we need to do this first, isn't it? As a way of perfections, as a way of sanctifications, as a way of obedience and walking with God. One of the things, now you have heard that we are preparing to go to mission. And one of the ways our mission organizations are working, they set up their own ways of doing missions by, if you don't have enough money, we not send you, we are not responsible. You see? If anything would happen to you, can God bless without anything? Can God bless you? Can God take hold of you and use you for His glory without anything? Our daily bread, providing for you every day. I'm not trying to encourage them to say, look, I've been a Christian for so long, and I'm not going to bend knee to anything that I know will be contrary to the Word of God. That's it, simple. And we need to do that, all of us. As long as you are not sinning against God, take a stand on certain things, certain matters. Take a stand, be bold, be courageous. One of the worst things, and I want to finish with this, one of the worst things we can ever experience is having someone else telling you something. Do it this way. I do it this way. You should do it my way. No, I don't have to do it your way. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is the Lord God Almighty your God? Do you know Him? Do you walk with Him? Do you have love for Him? Have you acknowledged His love for you? And now you are to honor the Lord. And now is Yahweh the Lord, as you said. Proverbs is insisting, giving us only the name Yahweh, God who walks with you, God who is in covenant with you. Yahweh. Honor Him by bringing Him the best. One thing, one area is where you can honor God. You know, in this country, people go to theological college after they turn 50. After they work and they rise up in their positions, in their companies or whatever they wear, and then they stop there, and then they go to theological college for another 4 years, they come out like 55, 56, 57, and then they go to ministry after that. Well, you need to serve the Lord God in your youth. You see, where you can pray 10 hours or go out hungry 3 days, 5 days fasting and nothing happened to you. And you will change the whole world. But if you wait until you are, like now we limp. I didn't feel these things when I was like 20. Just running from train to train, bus to bus, things like that. You don't think even about food. You can fast for so long. Water, food, anything. Are you honoring God? Why you don't go to theological college when you are 18 or 17 or 16? Or even 20, 21? Oh, it's not wise enough. Okay. But you are not strong enough too. And as you grow older, you forget. Now I'm forgetting a lot of verses I read in the past. So these mindsets must change. We need to honor God first. And the area of possessions and money today, that was the subject. But you can't multiply that. We need to stand out, that we need to declare our relationship with God. It's just like people going to war and you want to act as if you are not part of that army, isn't it? Trying to hide. By not honoring God in this way, you are hiding that I don't belong to God. Jesus said, give and you shall be given. Try God and you will see his blessings. And all this he is saying to us, it's not just he want to rob us our money. After all, his money. How many people today who are unable to work? Or how many people who cannot even find opportunities to gain something? And some of us can just change job day after day, things like that, just like that, easily. Multi-skills, and it's blessing from God. Honor the Lord from your possessions. I want to take this, not with your possessions, from your possessions that are yours, and you are free to do this. This is just what I like about it. It's the Lord giving you the freedom to say that I love you, because it's from him to you personally. He cares about you. And therefore, your response is very important to you, or to him. Your response is very important to him, so that he will bless you. You see what will follow in verse 11, a discipline, isn't it? Discipline of children of God. God wants to be gracious to you. He loves you so much. And you want to go your own way, he will punish you. And the Bible says that is his strange work. God doesn't like punishing us. That is his not first choice at all. No. It's not. It's a resort. He resort to punishing us. And then now he says, I'm not going to remove the punishment, but you are to endure it because I love you. But we should not subject ourselves to punishment of God because of our failure to honor him, me included, all of us. And this verse first addresses our religions, where is our priority, who is our God, and what is our mission in this world. Honor the Lord. Glorify him from your wealth.